it's going to be more talk about breathing. And the reason why is because when we were studying breathing in the practice period, and I even talked about it, I lectured about it, Mary lectured about it, but I still felt there was more. And there probably is still, will be more after this. But the particular things that perplexed me are what I'm going to talk about today. And the things I hope to get us a little deeper on. So this also ties in with our talk about Mel recently. He used to say, a good Zen student always knows where their breath is. And I think that's true. I also quibble with it. I quibble with mainly a good Zen student, but I also think that this is less catchy, and you probably won't remember it after this. It's fine. You can remember Mel saying, because it's fine as it is, but my less catchy version is, a Zen student continuously returns to awareness of where their breath is. I feel that is helpful to us in really bringing our, not striving so much for being good Zen students and for knowing that the reality of we don't always know where our breath is. That being said, you can keep using Mel saying because it sort of pushes you a little bit, like just don't discriminate. And that, which we studied before. You know what I mean by that? Anybody have a question of what I mean by that? The way is easy, just don't discriminate. Okay. In the Zen Mind Beginner's Mind, Suzuki Roshi said, when you practice Zazen, there is no idea of time or space. And that was in the fascicle on breathing. We explored that a little, but it still continued to perplex me. So, and it occurred to me that in Mel's saying, as well as mine, there's time and space. A good Zen student always, there's time, knows where their breath is. There's space. My altered saying still has space and time in it. It's a Zen student continually returns to an awareness of where their breath is. So have we cracked this nut? So the way to that I approach this is to look at the two fascicles that begins in Mind Beginner's Mind, one of which is posture, and the second of which is breathing. Very appropriate for our practice. And I believe in each of them, Suzuki Roshi says words to the effect of, the only thing you should be thinking about in Zazen is posture, or the only thing you should be aware of is your breathing in each respective fascicle. This is the most important thing. So I looked at that, and I'm wondering if we can try this together. I'm going to ask you to take a moment, to ask all of us to take a moment, and see if we can notice, can we notice our breathing and our posture at the same time? So sitting up straight and feeling your breath wherever it is. So let's take a moment and do that. So how was that for people? Zach?
I thought it was easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's sort of what I do during Zazen, is sort of check in on both periodically. Or notice when I'm leaning forward, or I'm not paying attention to my breath. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right, Kate? Kate, I see you.
Yeah, I didn't find it difficult to be aware of my breath and body at the same time, or posture, I guess you said. But I definitely was aware of my body and space and my breath in time. I mean, I didn't think about it, but you know, we exist in space and time, so.
I'm not gonna make anybody talk, everybody talk, I mean, but does anybody else have a experience they wanna share?
Oh, wow. Okay. Another thing is that, in a way, dividing posture and breath into two things seems kind of un-Zen-like. Like, it should be posture breath.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Psst. Oh, Mary.
It seemed like I could be aware of both at the same time. And then I think, is that even possible? Mm-hmm. So was it an instantaneous back and forth? I don't know, but it felt as if I could be aware of both at the same time.
Yeah, I was wondering myself whether it's a flickering back and forth, it's so instantaneous, or so quick, it feels instantaneous, or whether it really is at the same time. I'm not sure it matters. I think that if you can be aware of both and it feels like it's the same time, that's enough. And then another thing is, now let's try this again, and let's all take Mel's and my advice, and let's, where is your breath in your body right now? And quick clue, if you probably discovered this yourself, but if it's not instantaneous, you can always start with your nose and follow it to wherever it goes, if that even rhymes. Okay, let's do that for a moment. Now, my question is not just how was that, but in becoming aware of where your breath was, did the placement of your breath change? Did it change your place in your body, Kate?
I am most often first aware of my breath in my belly, and I think it's because that's how I sort of trained myself to be aware of my breath, to breathe deeply enough to feel it in my belly, you know, to be aware of it all the way. So now it's kind of my default is how it feels like. If, you know, that's when I come back to my breath, that's where I notice it first, you know, and then usually the sensation in my nose follows. And then my chest, which always seems to be tight.
did my saying, be aware of where your breath is, did you notice any particular change at that moment? Like that it went from somewhere else to your belly?
No. Okay. That was pretty consistent.
Anybody else? Oh, sorry, I should let you bow out first. Kelly.
You know, I've been sucking on cough drops off and on all day. And so it was actually a very pleasant sensation. It was this like minty cool thing through my whole respiratory system. The nice thing about that is that it felt very, and this, I recognize this kind of artificial, but it felt like, oh, I'm breathing through my whole body because it was this light up of mint. So, so it didn't so much move, but there was a really nice sensation.
It's almost like you put a chemical tracer in your body to find where your breath was. And...
yeah, totally. I recommend it.
Okay, I'll do that later. Daniel?
Yeah, for me, it's because I've been trained like Kate, but for me, the breath is kind of odd because I always feel the sensation start in my nose. It always stays in my nose, and I feel it go chronologically, so to speak, down my esophagus into my belly, and I can feel the breath almost throughout my nose. And then when it comes back out through my nose, that's when it ends. So it's a filling thing for me.
So, okay. Please bow out when you're done. Do a little gacho. Zach.
I know the, I think it's Dogen who says it's like a swinging door.
Actually, that was Suzuki Roshi in the passage you were reading.
Okay.
Actually, it was Ru Jing. He did say that, but Ru Jing was the one that wrote the windmill poem.
Okay. But I think of it more as like a bellows. It's kind of like the stomach breathing out sucks it in and blows. I mean, it's more of that kind of thing. And, but I also think of it as it's all just air. It's not a beginning and an end. It's just, it's all continuous. I guess there is a beginning and end, but it's also continuous. And your question about where does it start, or where did you sense it, or when I'm here, I'm always, well, first of all, since I started practicing, I breathe through my nose all the time, unless I'm exercising or something. I've noticed that habit. And certainly when I'm here, I'm breathing from my stomach. But I notice myself in sort of the regular world breathing from my chest more. But here, I just sort of unconsciously switch. So.
Mary.
It started, I mean, for me, it really is my belly. That's what I notice. Right now, I have a mask on, so I notice it in my nose, and I notice when I exhale, I notice the mask fills up. But what interested me was, as you talked, because at first I just could feel my belly, and that's where my attention usually goes. But some anxiety arose, and I don't even know, it was very subtle actually, but what I felt the impulse to start breathing in my chest, and I just let go of it and went back to my belly. But it was just interesting to notice that there was a little shift, and there was this impulse to just, you know, little anxiety arose, like, where should I be? What? You know, like, it's performance anxiety. Oh, well,
my breath often moves, and just now it was going between, so when I was in saying, where does it go, does it change, it's almost like it follows the instructions that I'm giving, that it goes from my chest to my belly, and then I feel like it's staying in the belly now. But it definitely, I feel like every time, so my experience might be a little bit different from the rest of yours, that I feel like every time I ask myself, where's my breath, I feel it coming into my belly from wherever it just was. And it's often not in the belly until I remind myself to pay attention. And really what that tells me is that we have location in the body of our breath, and Zach mentioned the beginning and an end. Mary mentioned the process of the breath going from one place or almost going to the chest. Mm-hmm. Kelly, you mentioned the process. Kate, you mentioned filling your belly. I do that too. I tend to fill my belly later. I mean, fill my chest later after my belly. going through the nose in, as Daniel said, chronologically, all of these are breathing in time, right? It's not like you're thinking a lot about it, but it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So now I'm going to see if we can just fully notice our what happens to our attention. So let's do this once more. And notice when your attention starts to move away from your body, as if, and do it as if you're counting sheep. You're just staying, you know, or counting something that, so it's not a lot of concentration, just this is a moment of zazen where notice what happens with your, when you're concentrating on your breath and your body, and you're staying with them and noticing thoughts attempting to move somewhere else. Okay, now for the sake of time, I'm going to ask if you agree or disagree with me rather than going around. My experience just now, and whenever I do that for a short amount of time, I admit that zazen can, there can be more wandering, but in a short amount of time, I sense that I sort of mark that a thought is trying to come up that's something other than the posture and the breath, and when I just notice it, but I'm always with the mind and the breath. And there's a sense that my attention can't possibly fly away because there's this grounding. And I wonder if anybody has, and I'm not talking about your experience of zazen in general, but does anybody have like a radically different experience to that, or is that pretty much everybody's experience? If you do have a radically different experience from that, please do raise your hand. So my sense is that the reason why that happens is because there's nothing to fly away, nowhere to fly to. I've been talking about the past and present. I've been talking about different places, location. But actually, when you sit in that kind of focus, for want of a better word, just paying attention, you're in the present, and your thoughts want to go to the past, or they want to go to the future, neither of which exists, or some other location. But there's no other location besides right here. So I'm assuming that's why that happens. Now I want to finally expand our awareness to our surroundings too. So returning back to the exercise, and just notice not only the air going in and out of your nose, but the air on the skin of your face or whatever else is exposed. Notice the ground beneath you while continuing to focus on your breathing and posture. Just expand a little bit. Okay. So when we're completely present with everything that surrounds us, with our breath and body, and in a place where thoughts don't appear to fly away, where we don't appear to be losing our attention. Awareness of the here and now and the breath and the body is to study space and time. You might recognize I'm paraphrasing, and I'll go to the actual quote in a minute. So awareness of here and now is to study space and time. To study space and time is to forget space and time. Now, the quote I promised you from Dogen is in the Genjo Koan. And he says, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by myriad things. When actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away. No trace of realization remains. And this no trace continues endlessly. So there's a lot in here, but I'm just talking about breathing and posture for now. And that's a lot too. So with this example, to be aware of the posture and the breath is to forget the posture and the breath. That is, to be with them without so much I. Little thing I thought of as I was writing this lecture, looking over my notes this morning, is that we can think of I as short for idea with a capital I, because it's after all our idea of I. That loosens up a little bit, that we begin to forget. So to forget the body and breath is to let the experience of here and now arise without doing anything special. As Dogen puts it, to forget the self is to be actualized by the myriad things. When we are here and now, when here and now arises, the sense of the separate I from the body and the breath and the surroundings drops away. Dogen says, when actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the body and minds of others, drop away. And then when that happens, there's no separate realization of the breath and the body and our surroundings. Dogen says, no trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. Another Dogen quote from Uji, which is the time being that we studied. Dogen says, the way the self arrays itself is the form of the entire world. See each thing in this entire world as a moment in time. And I have to just quote Mel again, who told me the first time I had Dokusan with him, each breath is the universe. He was telling me how to meditate. He was telling me to focus on my breath. And I didn't quite understand it then, but what has unfolded to me at this point in my practice is that each moment is the universe means each breath is the universe. Sorry, that was somebody else who said each moment. Each breath is the universe. Is to note that each breath and the body and the posture and the surroundings all arise together, and the idea of them arises, abides, and passes away. And then you're back with body, breath, the universe. And finally, Suzuki Roshi says something that I think nicely caps this all off. He said in the fascicle, and again, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, a fascicle called Emptiness, Suzuki Roshi said, in Zazen practice, your mind should be concentrated on your breathing. But the way to keep your mind on your breathing is to forget all about yourself and just to sit and feel your breathing. If you are concentrated on your breathing, you will forget yourself. And if you forget yourself, you will be concentrated on your breathing. I do not know which is first. So actually, there is no need to try too hard to be concentrated on your breathing. Just do as much as you can. So we're at 11:03. We take questions. We usually go to 11:10. Is that right?
Or so. Could we start later? So.
Okay.
But we also, I think people are staying for tea. So.
True.
Use your judgment.
We'll do. Okay. So, bring me your questions. Back.
Why is it easier to have good posture and breathing when it's quiet?
Well, what's your first thought about that? Why do you think that is?
Well, when you asked us to be aware of our environment or everything, the thing that came to my mind is that it was quiet. Although I have tinnitus, so it wasn't quiet, but it was relative. It was quiet. And it made me think that that really sets the stage for paying attention.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that makes when it's noisy and chaotic and you're doing things?
Maybe when it's quiet, each breath is the universe. Is that the quote? Yeah. And when it's noisy, you can't quite tell the universe is there. I don't know. It just seems, it's kind of like running when it's not windy.
Yeah. I agree that it's more difficult when in the dusty world, as they say. My response to that is that the reflexes are much more acute when there are a lot of things going on. Like in a quiet room, as an example, if somebody suddenly drops something, you might lose your posture for a moment. So when there's a lot of things going on, you're not so much focusing on your posture, maybe, especially if it's not an ingrained habit. And I personally have a lot to work on with my posture when I'm not in Zazen. There's that, and something happens to the breath too. Our breath is more altered when we're responding to the world around us. So I do find it helpful to talk about continually returning to awareness of the breath, because that's the practice, to continually come back no matter what is going on around you. Continually work to have a better posture, whatever posture is appropriate. If you're running, then you might be a little bit forward or something, but you have your core strong if you're running for hopefully whatever, or we have whatever posture is needed for the situation, but not to get into some other posture that isn't necessary, that's too much tension for the situation or something like that, and just come back to it. Come back to the universe that is right there. That's what the practice is, and that's my attempt at answering that anyway.
Do you find yourself returning to your breath more the longer you practice?
Yes. How about you?
Yes. Just curious.
And I also have come to notice that it's easier to let go of, oh, where was my mind? And just come back. How about you?
So the judgment is less.
Yes.
Yeah, judgment is less. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. It's a relief a bit.
It's certainly easier for me to be aware of my breath when it's quiet because I don't have distractions. And I think because of practice, it's still, when I do get distracted, it's pretty easy to find it again. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty easy if I am in, an argument or just a, you know, disagreement with somebody. It's not that hard for me anymore to find my breath and to sort of use it to calm down and find the universe again, maybe. Anyway, but it's a useful question. Thank you.
Now that reminds me that when I was first starting this practice, I read an article in, I don't remember whether it was Tricycle or what, it was one of the Buddhist magazines, where it was recommended that deep listening meant to keep checking in with yourself and coming back to your breath and noticing your feelings and tensions that arise. And I read that and I kind of laughed at myself. So I'm not paying any attention to the person. I keep paying attention to myself. It wasn't intuitive at all to me. And I don't know where that article went, but to me, that completely makes sense. That's the way to listen to me, is by being present. So that's a big change. Daniel.
So for me, and maybe it's because I've been sitting Zazen for a while, but when I sit, I find that even when I find my mind wandering, I also find myself focused on my breath when I'm sitting. And not all the time, of course, because there's moments when I have anxiety or fear or confrontation in my life, and I find myself focusing on that, and then I'm not really in the right posture to begin with. But that sitting, and I find it interesting because I spend so much time thinking about my breath, given that we're doing this practice, but it's when I'm in the quote unquote real world that I completely forget about my breath. And do you have that same experience?
It is true. So what can we do to be with our breath and our posture more when we're in the, when we're outside the gates, when we're in the real world, unquote, quote.
As certain signs say, we can breathe, breathe, breathe.
Right, thank you.
Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible.